All right, let's go through the look through the window of baseball for our penultimate time. We'll do it tomorrow as well. I'm brought to you by Marvin Windows and Doors, and of course, Truett & White, the professional builder's choice. Bruce, good morning. Sorry to keep you on hold.
Hey, Bruce.
No problem. How are you guys doing?
Oh, we're doing good. I was giving my travel itinerary for the winter.
That was my fault, Bruce.
You know, I thought it was Art Spander for a minute.
Right, exactly. Right. Believe me, I was channeling Art Spander here. Believe me. It's very, very good. Jeremy Affeldt retires this weekend, and we were hoping to have him on today, but it didn't work out. But, Bruce, you wrote about Affeldt and where he fits in the pantheon of World Series playoff left-handed relievers. This is pretty interesting.
Yeah, you know, when you look back on the history, the great closers, almost to 100% are right-handed. You know, Rivera and Gossage and Eckersley and Suter and Quisenberry, just all the way down the line. And when you're talking about left-handed relievers who starred in a bunch of World Series, it's kind of a short list. And even though Affeldt was a middle guy, setup guy, he was so good that to me, if that's your category, left-handed relievers who won, you know, more than one ring, he's right in there. He's in there with Joe Page from the 40s, Ron Peronoski, who I saw a lot of with the Dodgers. You know, it's a real short list, but he definitely belongs in there. His overall postseason ERA was like 0.86. And when Boshi said, we don't win those without him, that's absolutely right. And he saved them on a number of occasions.
Yeah, Bruce, his postseason ERA ranks right alongside Mariano Rivera and St. Louis starter Harry Brekken.
Harry Brekken.
Harry Brekken.
Come on.
The cat, Bruce.
Yeah.
You know that.
Yes. It's just phenomenal, really. I mean, and, aside from that, a great guy in the clubhouse, a real source of perspective. Ann Killian said he represents the grown-ups in the clubhouse. And a good friend of mine, Dave Bathstone, has been involved in the fighting human trafficking for years, and he enlisted Jeremy Affeldt, and Affeldt was just invaluable to the cause, gave all sorts of time, really, really jumped in head first in fighting that really awful thing that happens worldwide. So a very, very special guy, and I'm going to miss him, watching him and talking to him.
You know, Bruce, as you're talking, I'm just thinking to myself, and, we're talking about great World Series performers, and you're right, the numbers are exactly right. I'm thinking in Giants history. You go back to the Marv Grissoms, and people like that, and, the Lavelles and all that. But, something, Affeldt, with what he accomplished as a Giant, is probably well up there as far as Giant relievers are concerned. You can put him up there with Nen and Beck and people like that for accomplishing a lot, and Brian Wilson. Affeldt is a reason that the World Series happened.
Yeah, I think Affeldt and Lavelle are probably your lefties out of the Giants' bullpen. And Affeldt might be the last guy you use in the biggest situation. He was amazingly calm and at his best when it really mattered, when the pressure was on. The classic game in Philadelphia when the Jonathan Sanchez and the scuffle broke out and guys are trotting in out of the bullpen as they must do. And Mark Gardner said, "Why don't you stay here? I mean, you might be coming in here pretty soon." He stays out there, comes in. I remember him striking out Ryan Howard, among other heroics in that appearance. And just, so much. There's so much to this guy. And as you say, it'd be well worth your time to come out tomorrow if you get a chance for that 11:30 ceremony, because this is a real special Giant for sure.
Good stuff from Bruce Jenkins here, Weekends in the Park, KNBR 680. And you mentioned one of the iconic moments from that 2010 run in Philadelphia. And in the Sports Illustrated, 5 things that Jeremy Affeldt won't miss about baseball. He mentions the city of brotherly love and how much he hates Phillies fans, Bruce. And I just find it so hilarious that Phillies fans and Philadelphia in general, they get a real pride out of being these tough guy fans. And then you criticize them like Jeremy Affeldt did, and they get really stung. And their personalities really come forth. So I just love the piece in Sports Illustrated, and it's such a representative. It's so representative of Jeremy Affeldt's personality. Love him. Love him, Dan. And I'm sure you read that piece, Bruce.
Yeah, and the Philly fans were just killing him, every time he went there, especially in that 2010 game. But, these are people. I remember one time Winskin came out there with long hair and they're, "The city not like this, I forget what they were singing exactly.
Was that you? Was that you, Bruce? Was that you?
Such a girl out there.
Yeah.
And then, of course, he shoved it up their butts, too.
Yeah. Boy, if only Gordon Jenkins could have heard that.
I think I missed my calling.
Really? Gordon would have had you as part of the singing behind Frank Sinatra if that was the case.
If you're in a few more bars, you change your mind.
I think you've been to a few too many bars this morning. I think that was the problem.
Yeah, just earlier this morning, yeah.
All right, it's a Cal game, so I know you're excited. How about looking back on this season just a little bit? And again, I kind of equated it to sort of a prize fight where you're fighting the whole way, and it's a great fight, and you got out to that 14th round, and you said, boy, I better knock him out right here, and then you got knocked out. It was that kind of thing for me.
Yeah, the Dodger Stadium series was the one where they had to come out of their corner fighting and get a knockout. They really needed to sweep that series or win a couple, and they didn't win any of them. And that was kind of the end of the line. But I think the whole mood of this last month is, you know, when you win three titles, you buy an awful lot of satisfaction and inner peace, and you start remembering how that felt, how lucky you are. And you put up with, you know, the fact that it didn't happen this year. There's a lot of good reasons why. And as they went down through September, I enjoyed watching the team as much as ever. All these kids, as smart hitting kids that they are, Tomlinson and obviously Duffy, you know, what Jared Parker did. All these guys are smart, all field hitters, and it speaks well to the farm system. You know, they got an awful lot to do in the offseason, particularly in terms of starting pitching. We'll see where that goes. But, you know, they were still the Giants. They still reminded you of the Giants. It killed them. They didn't have Pence and Panic when it mattered, and Crawford did when he missed those games. And that's really what that was the difference. I think they win the division if they're healthy. But you get years like this where it's just not going to happen. But they've done so many great things that it still feels good.
Bruce, one just quick thought on the health of this team this year, and it really did hurt them. But all the concussions, I don't know if I've ever seen a team in 2 years have as many concussions. And I just would like to get your thoughts on if you think this is a medical trend going forward. You'll see it a lot more. With protocol and all that and the awareness of brain injury, or if it's just a kind of an anomaly?
Well, these same kinds of things have always happened through time. Catchers get their bell wrong time and again, or somebody gets hit in the head in batting practice, and, you know, shake it off, buddy. Mm-hmm. You know, take five and get back out there. It's just exactly what they did. It's crazy in retrospect, but, you know, now with concussion protocol, you're obviously going to see a lot more because they're super careful. The guy gets one thump on the noggin, and it's time to check him out, which is exactly how it should be. It's not that there's some kind of medical failure on the team. I mean, it was crazy that they had four guys. There's no doubt about that. But we're going to see a lot more of that in all sports because the people are taking care of the guys.
Bruce Jenkins with us. Bruce, the season will end here tomorrow, but a big baseball month ahead. How do you feel about the month coming up and all the awards and all that kind of stuff?
Well, it's going to be great. I mean, I'm rooting hard for the Cubs. I want to see the Astros get in there. I hope the Mets, go pretty far in Toronto. But as far as the awards, I heard you on with Paul White this morning, and boy, I almost agree with almost everything he said. I think Harper. He likes Trout. I like Donaldson for the MVP. Mm-hmm. Even though they've got a lot of talent around him, he changed that team along with Russell Martin. But Donaldson is a real difference maker in terms of attitude and clubhouse presence and all that. And he's just been absolutely monstrous this year. So I'm going with him and Bryce Harper for MVP. You'd like it to be a guy on a winning team. That's really not happening. And Harper's the best player in the league. I've always loved watching him play. I know some people think he's a punk, and he has been, but he's grown out of that ever so slowly. But just for starters, those are my MVPs.
Looking at Arrieta, and I just kidded around with Paul White about that, you can't take him out. I don't care how many innings it goes. I don't care how many pitches. He is not coming out of that game to turn this thing over to that bullpen.
No, nor should he. A guy like that is ready to throw 150 pitches if he has to. And he'll come back every fifth day and throw 150 more. I mean, that's just the way some of these guys are. There's absolutely no way of predicting when a guy's arm's going to go bad. And I think I change my Cy Young vote every time one of these guys pitches. I don't have a vote, actually, but who I think I would vote for. And I'm kind of leaning towards Arrieta because, you know, what he's done for the Cubs, it's absolutely invaluable. I mean, the Dodgers got obviously the 1-2 punch, and those guys are phenomenal. Kershaw was at his very best against the Giants the other night. But Arrieta, I don't know. His stuff is mind blowing, really. And what he's done for that team, I think, maybe pushes him over the edge. We'll see.
Yeah, second half ERA, outstanding. Hey, in terms of NL Manager of the Year, there's a lot of great candidates. For me, it's Matheny or Bochy, and I hate to put you on the spot, Bruce, but who would you vote for?
I'm going with Joe Maddon. You know, to do something with the Cubs, you know, it's easy to say that they've got all this talent and all that, but they actually did it, and they did it in style. So they have a phenomenal record. Mm-hmm. He changed the way that team feels about itself, and to do that in that town, obviously Matheny, you know, Bochy was fabulous. Terry Collins went through an awful lot with the Mets. Just unbelievable stuff. But I got a soft spot for Maddon. I've always enjoyed it, the way he worked, his sense of humor, the way just his general attitude. And, again, really tough vote, but I'm leaning toward him.
And he's navigated the whole bring back Steve Bartman mess.
How about that?
Bartman wouldn't go for it. It's a nice gesture, but that's a difficult set of circumstances there.
And Chicago, they're a city where they just love to, I mean, they're like a glutton for punishment.
But, wouldn't Bartman, who knows what he went through, the suffering, but it's a way to end it. in other words, he comes back. What could happen? Could he get in the way again?
They could lose.
It can't happen, right?
What could happen is they could lose. They could lose, and he could somehow be part of it.
Yeah.
Another foul ball. This time he gets out of the way, but it kills the guy.
They lose, and they blame it on the curse of Bartman.
Yep.
Then for the rest of his life, he has to be underground. I guess so. I guess I understand it with him.
Okay.
I guess so. Hey, yeah. you wrote some interesting thing this morning about people on the spot a little bit, and also interesting sidelines. How about Josh Hamilton back in the playoffs, and he may knock the Angels out. How about that? Kershaw in there, the pressure's on him to do something. And our good friend Michael Morse says that he's ready.
Oh, yeah, Morse. I hope he's probably going to be a pinch hitter. But, you know, Morse, he could, just like he did against the Cardinals, walk up there and change everybody's life. You know, he loves the pressure. He had big homers in Washington. Lord knows he did for the Giants. And so he'll be in position to do that. Josh Hamilton, the way he went after that ball, made a fantastic catch a couple nights ago. One of the better catches of the year, all things considered. Winding up skidding in the dirt and everything else. And, you know, he could be a huge difference maker for Texas. If he gets hot, he can win a series almost by himself. And then you got Alex Rodriguez, who came from the dead. Everybody hated him in spring training, even his own team. Mm. And somehow he went out there and kept pushing and playing and winning people over. And he's probably the MVP of the team, at least of the lineup. So, I mean, there's so many great storylines. It's just going to be a great postseason.
Yeah, I love it. And Dusty Baker will be a commentator. I like that.
Yeah, that's very good. You know, it's good because it'll get Dusty, in the hotel lobbies and hanging out and being visible, because there's teams that are looking for managers, and they have to at least consider him. If you look at his track record, what he's done with all the clubs, even the Reds, look at the Reds now after Dusty left. They were in the postseason when he was there. He did more with the Cubs than anybody's done since God knows when. He won 103 with the Giants, so, I mean, I hope that it leads to something, but at the very least, he's a wonderful analyst of the game and great company, and he'll be great on the air.
Good stuff from Bruce Jenkins here from the Chronicle. Hey, just some fun stuff. Seinfeld in the booth tonight with Cohan and Keith Hernandez. So I'm looking forward to a little of that Mets mojo. And then just for fun, Bruce, I'd like to get your thoughts on the wiffle ball and the wiffle bat being up for the National Toy Hall of Fame in Rochester, New York. The announcement will come November 5th, and I'm just curious, you and Marty, how much did the wiffle ball and wiffle bat play a role in your lives coming up and your love for baseball?
Oh huge. Mm-hmm. I'm in Berkeley right now, and I'm remembering living up on Waring, and I played wiffle ball with a bunch of guys on the Cal baseball team, just throwing it, at a million miles an hour, using real bats. Forget the wiffle bat. I never could have any use for that. I had no feel for it. But using the good Louisville sluggers and playing wiffle just like every night. I mean, forget the homework. We're out there, you hit the ball through this tree, it's a triple, off that window, it's a double. Just to get started, we had to throw the wiffle ball off the street light, and you had to hit it to get the light to come on. So that was always a heroic moment, but I played wiffle since I was a kid, and it's a huge thing for me.
Yeah, I love it. Yeah. I could make it curve. That was a big. I could never throw a curve. But a wiffle ball, if you put your finger on the holes, you can make it curve.
Yep.
Well, we never use the ones where it's like half holes and half not. I mean, that's ridiculous. If it turns into a frisbee, it's the one with the standard holes, and you'll get them.
Very good. I want to ask you this, Pat. Who is the wiffle ball and bat up against? Who are they up against?
Well, you got stuff like the puppet, and then you've got dolls, and you got jacks and things like that. There are 15 nominees, and then November 5th, they'll announce the finalists, or at least the class of 2015.
All right. We're going to open up spring training with that one.
Okay.
This will be good. Willie Mack Award. Matt Duffy, what was your thought about that?
Well, I'll tell you, people know that he's a heck of a ball player, and they get a sense that he's a classy guy, too. But for a rookie to win that award in that clubhouse is really something. It speaks to what kind of a guy he is and how he's viewed by the players. I mean, you know, it's all about, you know, what kind of a man you are, really. You have to have talent. You have to be a great player on the field as well. It's not going to go to the 220 hitting backup shortstop, no matter what kind of a guy he is. But, you know, this guy Duffy, he's been a revelation in so many ways, you know, making people forget Sandoval, Lord knows. But the character of this guy is just more of it comes forth every week. And now to get this, that's a really tremendous thing. You know, I hope he gets hot and finishes over 300, because that would be a nice, just like Panic hit 304 last year, it's a nice thing on your resume.
Well, I think Andy said he's got to go 4-for-8. I think, to get there.
Yeah.
So maybe he'll do a Ted Williams. Let's see.
Yeah. Why not?
Yeah, very possible. He'll probably go 6-for-8.
That's Ted Williams at 406.
Yeah.
All right, Bruce,
yeah.
Tomorrow we'll have you on early because it's a 12 o'clock start, and we have the AFL ceremony at 11:30 tomorrow. But tomorrow's your birthday.
It is. Number 90, Mari. I'm so happy.
All right.
Very good, Bruce.
Bruce is going to be on his birthday tomorrow.
Cool.
So it's very good. All right, Bruce, have a great afternoon, and go Bears.
Thanks, Bruce.
And we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Yeah. Right on, Bruce.
Sounds good, fellas. See you there.
All right, that is Bruce Jenkins of the Chronicles.
Yeah, and Bruce was in a great mood today. He always does his thing. He's always awesome. But, man, he was giggling and laughing. It was cool. I really enjoyed our conversation today.
Was it Paulie Mack on there?
Maybe they're dibbling and dabbling in the same scene. I don't know, but it was fun.
Very good.
Yeah, it's a final weekend of baseball this year for Giants fans.
It is.